EFL. It's the Football League podcast, just one positive result away from promotion. Coming up, Leicester are nearly there after slapping the Saints. We'll preview a big weekend at the bottom of the Championship and look ahead to the final round of games in Leagues 1 and 2 as Barnsley sack their manager with one game of the season left. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. We are nearly done with the regular season, folks. It's whizzed by, hasn't it? We are here to talk about all the possibilities and permutations ahead this weekend. It's me, Matt, and I am joined by Sam Parkin.
Morning, Matt. Morning, Clarkie.
Yes, that's Adrian Clarke, who is the third point of our triumvirate. How are you doing, Clarkie?
Oh, top of the world. Absolutely brilliant. Basking in the glow of meeting Gladiators legend last night. And which was very exciting. And of course, Arsenal won 5-0 against Chelsea. So, feeling pretty chipper. So chipper, in fact, that I forgot the start time of this pod. So here we are.
Not legendary timekeeping skills. But pleased for you that you managed to rub shoulders. Although I'm guessing you don't really want to rub shoulders with legend, do you?
Because
he'll make you feel quite inadequate.
Yeah, I definitely felt inadequate. But look, very nice guy. Happy days.
Good to hear. Right, before we get on to the midweek action, let me remind you that our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers at sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18 plus, and remember, always gamble responsibly. Okay, let's get to the midweek action. And Leicester emphatically underline their status as favourites to go up as champions with a 5-0 demolition of Southampton at the King Power on Tuesday night. Abdul Fatawu hit a hat-trick with Ndidi and Vardy also on the score sheet. It means, Sam, they need one win from the last two games to clinch promotion. They play Preston and Blackburn, or if Leeds lose at QPR on Friday, that'll do it too. You saw them lose at Millwall the other week. It's been quite the response since then. Maybe a little bit lucky against West Brom, but this was ruthless.
Yeah, really good reaction to those two defeats at Millwall and at Plymouth Argyle, where they were really off it. So yeah, a little bit of good fortune maybe against a good West Brom team at the weekend. Last night, obviously really good value for the win. Really punished Southampton late on, but Southampton were in the game, first half and early part of the second half as well. Russell Martin bemoaning the lack of killer instinct, I suppose. And yeah, no shots on target probably sums it up quite nicely. Good build-up play, but a real contrast in the thrust and the clinical nature of Leicester's finishing. Fatawu, for my money, has probably been one of their better players last few weeks of the campaign. Amazing hat-trick. And Vardy, brilliant goal. And again, I think I said it on maybe a previous pod, I think that's Leicester's best team last night. Having James Justin back in there, Ricardo Pereira, obviously, he's a bit of a kind of hybrid, isn't he? Gives you loads with the ball, but also that recovery tenacity without it. Two wide guys, Jamie Vardy down the middle. So I think that's Leicester at their strongest. Expect them to get it done now in two pretty nice looking fixtures.
I wanted to get your thoughts, Clarkie, on what Russell Martin said after the game. It's been a bad week for them, hasn't it? Beaten at Cardiff at the weekend and then smashed here. He said, at the start of the second half, we were so good and we were so on top and they scored against the run of play. And after that, I did not like one bit what I saw from my team tonight. After that, there was no togetherness, no character and no fight. Now, is that just a manager feeling sore, speaking shortly after a thumping? Or is that him trying to get a reaction from his players? Because you don't want to drift into the playoffs off the back of some bad results.
No, I think it's definitely him trying to get a reaction out of his players. You've got to be honest, haven't you? If you take a 5-0 pasty against one of your promotion rivals, you can't stand there and try and defend it, unless you're Erik ten Hag or someone like that. But it's just not really acceptable. So I think it's the right tack from him. He's looking, he needs his players to be G'd up for the playoffs. I don't think it's a case of him burying them. Yeah, I do think some of the goals were fantastic. I've got to say that. Fatawu's hat-trick was brilliant. As Sam said, the Vardy finish, sublime. They don't need to really overanalyze it at Southampton. I think that they've got to this position because they're a really real quality team. They've lost their keeper. They've lost Stuart Armstrong. They're two really, really important players. And now they've lost the chance of top two. So what do? Do they sulk about it, or do they try and be better. And I think that, that what he's saying there is the attitude, I didn't like it. I didn't like us laying down in the second half and getting our tummies tickled. So, yeah, I think it was the right thing to say. On Sam's assessment of Leicester, completely agree. It is their best team. And I thought it was really smart of him to leave out Hamza Chowdhury after his unbelievable hat-trick of goal line clearances, man of the match against West Bromwich Albion, but could see the bigger picture. And he's like, actually, he was brilliant. He was our hero. But for this game, I want Pereira at right back, and I want a more balanced back four with Justin on the other side instead of Wout Fash. So Cody and Chowdhury both came out. I think that's good management. But those two wingers, they will wind you up. They will frustrate you because they'll mess so much up because they get a lot of the ball and they're a little bit maverick. But when they're hot, joy to watch.
So Southampton, I mean, if you're saying mathematically possible, I don't think so. 6 points behind Leeds with two games to go, but the goal difference is absolutely ginormous. It's nearly 20 difference, so they ain't going to turn that around. That after Leeds won a thriller at Middlesbrough to mean they're second, a point ahead of Ipswich, having played a game more. Adrian, this has got to be categorised in the vital victory bracket, hasn't it? Given that they've gone three without a win, only scored one in that time, but really important that they got the equaliser pretty quickly after going behind.
Very important. What a wild game this was. I mean,
especially the first half, crikey.
Yeah, the first half was crazy. And yeah, great watch, but very un-Leeds like. You know, Leeds got the best defensive record in the division. So yeah, it was, and the Leicester West Brom game was equally wild, I would describe, in terms of being open and them giving up big chances. So you know, maybe that's part of the nerves getting to the players. Their minds are a little bit fried. I don't know, but they've got the firepower in those kind of crazy attack minded end to end games. Leeds have got the players, haven't they, to really go out and score goals against anyone. And we saw that they got a bit of luck with Willie Nontos. You know, he's a yard offside, but you know, in a non VR world of championship, we accept it and we get on with it, don't we? But yeah, that one was a slice of fortune, but some of it was goal to seal it, really, with that fourth goal was trademark him. And yeah, I think that is a brilliant result, actually, because Middlesbrough really fancied their chances, I believe, of upsetting them. And Leeds only, as you know, as much as we say it was a crazy game, Leeds only had 8 shots, but they scored from 4 of them. So well played them.
Somerville, the key man, Sam, he's the Championship Player of the Year. Was that a decision that you agreed with?
No. I think Sammy Smodics is the Championship Player of the Year, possibly in my mind. He's exceptionally talented, isn't he, Somerville? And yeah, big reason for their success. I think Nonto was actually good in this game. I was surprised to see him replaced, but that was, yeah, very much a Somerville signature move, wasn't it? If there's such a thing in the Championship, cutting in and finishing like that. And I think huge credit to Middlesbrough in this game. I think that's 5 goals they've scored against Leeds this season. And I think I remember saying a while ago, good fun watching Middlesbrough. And I think they are. I think they have a go. I think they've probably got the most informed striker, maybe along with Smodics in the division and possibly the Coventry too in Latte Lap. So he's outstanding at the moment. So I would 100%. Fancy Middlesbrough next year with a few additions in the right departments. I think they're a little bit short, maybe. Could probably do with another wide player, maybe an option at right back. I think Dyke still had a difficult time, to put it lightly, up against some of those Leeds forward players. But yeah, credit Middlesbrough. But I thought a lot to like about Leeds. I think that's the 7th time now they've conceded first and gone on to win, which is testament to a strong mentality as well.
On Latte Lath, Sam, as a former striker yourself, do you think this is a purple patch or that he's the real deal at championship level?
Yeah, I think he's a good player. Yeah, I thought that even. I remember him getting a few goals sporadically start of the season and he was getting criticised quite openly by lots of people, maybe by being a little bit wasteful in front of goal. I didn't see that. I saw the quality finishes that he was sticking away. And now they're flowing more freely. I think he's a good player. You could see he's got a real determination to get shots off, I think. But he's got decent awareness. The dummy for the first goal, that's outstanding. Outstanding on Ampadu. Just kidded that he was going to let fly. That enabled the space to open up. And obviously the header's amazing as well. Now, I think he looks like a really good player. And had he not been injured for, what, a month, 6 weeks, we'd be talking about Middlesbrough probably being in the playoffs again.
Yeah, 14 goals and 21 starts, Matt. So, you know, that tells you all you need to know, really. The just a little cheeky stat from these two sort of thumping wins, even though Leeds wasn't a thrashing, you know, scored 9 goals between them. They shared a similarity, Leicester and Leeds, in that they both enjoyed 33% of possession in both those games. Now, that hasn't happened that often this season. It just goes to show, actually, you know, they can both do it both ways. Leicester, for me, are actually far more dangerous when they're countering. And you could probably say the same about Leeds with their speed. So these matchups worked out quite favourably, I think, stylistically as well.
Yeah, well, it's important that they can do that if they're going to be in the Premier League next
year. Yeah, good practice.
Possession there. Latte-Lath, by the way, before this season, had spent the past 7 seasons out on loan, which is no good for anybody, really, is it? So maybe he just needed a permanent home. Big games in League One at the bottom of the table on Tuesday night. Cheltenham made sure their fight for survival will go to the final day after they beat Peterborough 2-0. Sam, Posh made 7 changes ahead of the playoffs. That's annoying for Burton and Cambridge, but that's not Darren Ferguson's problem, is it?
No, I'm probably in that camp. Yeah. If you've done it over the large portion of the season, do what you want as you prepare for the playoffs. So you've got, I think they've got a big game against Bolton, haven't they, coming up at the weekend? But yeah, just looking at the table, and I think the normal sentiment is it's very dangerous to try and predict what the playoff lineup is going to be. I think if I'm Peterborough right now, I'd probably rather play Barnsley in 5th than the team that's going to finish 6th. I'm not suggesting that will be anything that's been talked about. That's just me looking at the table right now. So
it might not be Barnsley because they're, you know, they haven't secured it.
No, absolutely. But yeah, I don't know, just looking at the table as it sits right now, I'd be quite content if I was Posh to finish where they are. I mean, still quite a recognisable front four looking at it last night. Clark Harris, Mothersill, Adjiboy, Jay Jones as well, I think. So yeah, enough in that front quartet to cause Cheltenham problems. And I think they did towards the tail end of the game, but this was done within 25 minutes. And Matty Taylor, another goal. Real experience in the Cheltenham lineup now. I think that's not something that Daryl Clark's probably had throughout the season. In truth, I thought they were probably done after that Lincoln defeat. So yeah, real credit to them taking it to the last game. Winnable game as well, away at Stevenage, I believe it is, where they'll fancy their chances, but obviously reliant on other results going their way. And in this game, 25 shots Cheltenham had. So not really in keeping with their season. Certainly not the early part of the season when they couldn't score for love nor money. So whatever the outcome, Daryl Clark's done terrifically well, and I'm sure he will still be at the club next season, irrelevant of the division they're in.
Scored more than Burton and more than Cambridge in the end. And Shrewsbury, but everyone scores more than Shrewsbury. But yeah, after failing to score in all those opening games, that's some achievement, really.
Their goal difference is minus 23. They're on 44 points. Above them, Burton on 46, Cambridge on 47. After Cambridge drew 1-1 against Wickham, they conceded a late penalty. They go to relegated Port Vale on Saturday, which I guess is a good game, but also Burton are playing a relegated side. They're at Fleetwood. So it falls on you then, Clarkey, to tell me which of those three teams is going to be going down.
Oh, man.
I feel like it's Burton, I've got to say, just to help you out. I feel like there's a bit more momentum behind Cambridge and Chelsea.
Yeah, Burton definitely have been the worst of the three during the run-in. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They've slid down. Cheltenham have been fighting. Cambridge, a little bit up and down, but they've, you know, have they been in the bottom four this season, Cambridge? It doesn't feel as if they have. It doesn't feel like they're in the top four. Worst teams in League One. So yeah, but who have Burton got again on the final day?
Burton away to Fleetwood.
At Fleetwood, already relegated.
You see, yeah, it's, you could say, oh, that's easy, but Fleetwood have been quite difficult to beat. You know, a lot of draws. And Charlie Adam doesn't strike me as the kind of manager that's going to relax ahead of that last day. He wants to stay in that job. This is his first gig. As a proper manager, isn't it, Charlie Adam? First gigs are massive. You've got to be good. And he's just got relegated. Now, it's not all his fault. He only took over halfway through or whatnot. But he will not want to go into the summer break, Charlie Adam, on the back of a pasting. He will want to go out with a bang. So yeah, I'm gonna go with you, Matt. I'm gonna say that Fleetwood might turn over Bob Burton, or at least get the draw, and the other two will win.
Do you agree, Sam? Burton's League One status come for a Burton?
I'll go for them all to win. Although, you know, my kind of sentiment when it comes to relegated sides, I think there'll be the old let's take these with us chaps type conversation in the dressing rooms, because
true.
Yeah, you feel scarred, don't you, by being relegated, and sentiment goes out of it. You're like, right, let's do this lot over as well. So yeah, I could see them being difficult games, but I think Cheltenham maybe just left it too little too late. I just think when there's that real determination, onus on you to go out and be front-footed, maybe Burton and Cambridge will turn up and get the job done.
The phrase "gone for a Burton" originated with RAF flight crews during World War II. It means to have died or to be missing in action and presumed dead. Cheery. Let's go to League Two. A massive win for Bradford, damaging defeat for Barrow. The Bantams won 2-1 at Holker Street, just to make it worse for Barrow fans. It was their former striker, Tyler Smith, who plundered a stoppage time winner. Really fascinating battle for the playoffs in League Two then. Doncaster, MK Dons are there. They're the only ones who are assured of their place. Doncaster, 70 points, are fifth on goal difference. Crewe also have 70 points in no kind of form whatsoever. Barrow, 68. Crawley, 67. Bradford, 66. Even an outside sneak for Walsall there. It's tough to predict this one, isn't it, Sam? I mean, you'd think that victory would put Bradford in a decent state, but their goal difference is quite a bit worse than Barrow's. Who have you got out of these contenders to make the playoffs?
Crewe have been in no form whatsoever. Mm. Crawley limping to the finish as well. Barrow, I think, not won in six. Incredibly difficult. Yeah, Doncaster, given their thumping win last night, the form they're in, they're a shoo-in. Bradford just left it a little too late, maybe. Five wins in six, Bradford, which is just incredible turnaround. Sorry if this is really boring, but between the 12th of March and the 23rd of March, they played four games. They lost all of them, conceded 13, and scored one. Since then, they've won five in six. I mean, I don't remember there being calls for the manager's head, but I'm sure people weren't particularly pleased when they were in that type of form. So this has been a recovery that no one predicted. I will go for Barrow, just uncharacteristically, maybe. Lost a couple of home games, notoriously hard to beat there. I think Mansfield, let's hope they've been on the sauce, given that prediction.
Yeah, just looking at the fixtures for all those teams trying to get in the playoffs, Clarkey, because Doncaster had yet another win, 10 on the spin for them. They came from behind, beat Colchester 4-1. Colchester hosting Crewe, they do have something to play for. Bradford, Newport, Gillingham, Doncaster, and Crawley, Grimsby. I mean, they're all pretty winnable fixtures for all of those teams, you would say. You want to be Crawley or Barrow playing somebody at home who's got nothing to play for, I suppose.
I wouldn't want to be Crewe, because they're in rotten form, aren't they? Across the last 10 games, Crewe, they ranked 21st in the division in terms of the form table. So they've really hit the wall. Barrow 19th, by the way, so they're not a lot better. But yeah, I agree with Sam. At home to Mansfield feels like one where I know they've just lost at home, but it feels like they really have to take advantage of that. But Crewe going to Colchester, who really can't, well, they can't afford to lose. They need a point, don't they, Colchester United, to guarantee their survival. If the Colchester get beaten by a couple and Sutton win by a couple at MK Dons, then we're in for a very interesting bit of sort of mathematics to see who goes down. So there's a massive motivation down there in Essex to not get beaten by Crewe Alexandra. And I don't think they will get beaten by them. So yeah, it's I think Bradford's got too much. Crawley's got a nice fixture, haven't they? Home to Grimsby. They've not had a good season. They're safe now. So they probably are thinking about the beach. And the problem is, when you've had a rubbish season and you've just survived and it's the last day, there's nothing on it, what you also know is the old axe is coming. The guillotine is probably around the corner on Monday or Tuesday, Sam, isn't it? In terms of the manager having those meetings with the players and basically giving at least half of them the old custard pie. I don't know how much motivation the Grimsby players might have here.
Yeah, as you're talking there, Clarkey, I've changed my mind a little, but there's zero pressure on Bradford, right? Incredible momentum with Doncaster, feel-good factor. They'll get it done. The hardest game and the most nervous dressing room, I think, going into the weekend will be Crewe. And I think Colchester, even in defeat, I know we're going to come on to Donny in a minute, but even in defeat last night, you know, they were a goal to the good. They were playing some good stuff, Colchester. I've seen them alive in the last month. That is a really difficult game for Crewe. So I could see them being potentially leapfrogged by both Barrow and Crawley.
Crewe have scored one goal in their last six games. That is a pretty spectacular.
How good are Donny, though, collapse. Sam? I mean, this is an incredible one. Winning 10 on the spin in the EFL just does not really happen. Especially when weren't they third bottom at one point, Donny?
Yeah, there was a stat doing the rounds last night after 35 games.
Not at one point, I've just looked at after 28, they were third bottom and one place above the relegation zone. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's been incredible turnaround. Did a little bit of digging this morning. Obviously, they had a really good window in January. So at Delican, I mean, that took me a little by surprise. Yeah, I thought he'd been there, you know, throughout the season. He's got 9 goal involvements during this 10-game run. Obviously, Ironside's come to the fore as well in terms of who's been getting the goals. He's 5-5 currently. Molyneux on the other side. Remember him coming through or certainly starring at Hartlepool. That lovely left foot coming in off the right-hand side, hitting shots. But yeah, they did some really good business in January. Midfield to Craig and Bailey. Craig in from Spurs, a goalkeeper on loan from Hull, the aforementioned Adelican. So they've done some really good business. And I think just partnerships all over the pitch as well. Mentioned the central midfield, Anderson and Wood. You're not going to get a more experienced centre-half pairing anywhere in a division. Free scoring, a coach who I think likes to be attack-minded, likes to go and get after teams, play on the front foot. And the most important thing, there's just incredible belief there. You know, you look at the side, it's a good spine of experienced League Two players, the centre-halves, the centre-forward, the wide guys. And at the moment, they're just unplayable, even when they go a goal behind. I think there's an incredible belief amongst the supporters and the players that they're gonna turn around deficits. So they are to be feared. Their biggest problem, probably, if they are to make it, is that MK Dons are littered with quality. But that would be, you know, I'm jumping ahead here, that would be some clash if they meet at some stage.
Yeah, Wembley, MK Dons really don't want Doncaster to drop into that sort of seventh spot, do they? Because all of a sudden MK Dons in pole position, slippers on for a couple of weeks, just gearing up for the playoffs, and then they potentially get to play the strongest suit in the semi-final. That would be a bit of a disaster for them. But yeah, they're the two standouts to make the playoff final, aren't they? MK and Donny. So yeah, exciting for both.
Exciting for both of those two. That's our League Two chat done. We're going to do more Championship in League One next, where it is not exciting if you are at the bottom of the table of the second tier. Specifically, a massive game in Yorkshire. It's Huddersfield against Birmingham. So looking at the table, even Stoke and QPR aren't quite safe yet, but it's Blackburn, Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday who are just above that perforated line. Birmingham and Huddersfield facing off 22nd and 23rd. Birmingham, the visitors in this match, a point from safety. Huddersfield on 44, so they're 3 points adrift of Sheffield Wednesday. But Clarkie, it's not just about that, is it? It's about the fact that their form has completely collapsed. That 4-0 defeat against Swansea at home was an absolute shocker. They've only won one of their last 10, haven't scored more than once in any of those games. It's been a real calamity of a season.
It has, yeah. And Brighton Ryder came in and there was that initial bounce. But that's faded, hasn't it? I just don't know if he's got the right players to play that style of football. I mean, it all began when they got rid of Colin, didn't it? Really, you know, it wasn't a disastrous start to the campaign, but they thought they knew better. Went for, you know, Darren Moore, and he's gone to Port Vale, and they're relegated. And now Brighton Wright's made very little difference. The saving grace for them is that they face a Birmingham side that's not in good nick either. They're not scoring goals. Obviously failed to score against Rotherham. Obviously that big win against Coventry has given them hope, but you know, they blanked against Cardiff, blanked against Watford, blanked against Middlesbrough, scored one against QPR, one against Preston. So they're not full of goals themselves. I think this has KG 0-0, 1-0 vibes either way written all over it. And because loser goes down, I think that is almost certain. Huddersfield lose, they're down. It's done. Birmingham lose, and I think they're done as well. With Norwich to play on the final day, even a win might not be enough for them. So yeah, I know a lot of Birmingham fans, and they are resigned to it. But I don't think they should be. I think that they can win this game because Huddersfield are shot shy. They don't have that many goal threats. I look at Birmingham and I see a team. If they can play together and sort it out at the back. You know, Bielik's back in the team now as well, which I think is really important. They can have that solid platform. They've definitely got the talent to get one or two goals to potentially win this match. So I'm going to back Birmingham here, but it could come back to bite me.
Sam, our friends at Quinbet are thinking along the same lines as Clarkie and you, I believe. They've got Huddersfield at 1-10. To go down, Birmingham 4-5, Sheffield 5-4, Blackburn 8-1. It's just the fact that Huddersfield are in no form, right? And they don't. You're expecting them to go and win one game and draw the other, and the other is away at Ipswich on the final day. So not only are they in poor form, but they've got a horrible game to end with.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Clarkie said. Toss of a coin this game. Obviously, they've got the home advantage, Huddersfield. They beat Millwall recently in a kind of must-win game at home. And they've probably got an additional set-piece threat that maybe Birmingham don't have with Sorba Thomas. His delivery is second to none. I think 13 goals from dead balls they've scored. So I'd throw that into the mix. But I would agree with Clarkie that there's a little bit more firepower in Birmingham's ranks. Miyoshi, Stansfield, Robertson, Keshi Anderson reintroduced the last few weeks. I mean, even Oliver Burke got a start, albeit it lasted 45 minutes at Rotherham. And I think it's easy to forget because of the predicament they've fallen into, but they've had 7 points from Gary Rowett, 6 games, 1 point from the previous six under Mark Venus and maybe Tony Mowbray just slightly at the early part of that run. So they have improved. They have had those home victories, which we probably anticipated being the way that Rowett could keep them in the division. Can they get it done here? Again, yeah, it's 0-0 or it's 1-0 this game, and it's complete devastation for the side that's on the end of the defeat at full time.
Just a quick stat for XG fans everywhere. No, not everyone is an XG fan. Sam brought up a very good point about set pieces with Huddersfield. They're dynamite. The team with the worst set piece against XG in the division, Birmingham.
So, a crucial factor in that nervy game. Sheffield Wednesday, they've moved themselves out of the bottom three. They beat Blackburn 3-1 on Sunday. This weekend, the Owls welcome the Throstles to their nest, a.k.a. Hillsborough, as West Brom visit Yorkshire. What did you enjoy more, Clarkie, from that Blackburn game? The amazing technique from Windass for his goal, or the amazing own goal from Ainsley Pearce? It's got to be the latter, right?
Of course it is. I mean, yeah. What a calamity. What an absolute...
The fact that he misses it and then he goes to grab it but kind of looks like, oh no, I better not grab it, and then it goes in anyway.
Has he done that because he couldn't grab it because it's therefore a back pass? Is that why
maybe,
his hands towards it? I didn't really get that.
It was like the ball was made of lava or something. Like, oh, can't touch that.
You take the indirect free kick in the 6-yard box, don't you? Or wherever it would have been.
Yeah, of course you do, but he was having the worst game of his life, wasn't he? He was having it was cost the first goal as well, didn't he? So that
it all went pear-shaped for him, you might say.
I mean, Birmingham fans, they're going to blame him. If they do go down, Ainsley Pearce is going to get, he's probably already got, I mean, I don't know if he's on social media, but if he is, he needs to block, you know, pretty much. He needs to mute everybody this week because Birmingham fans would have come for him, wouldn't they? Blimey.
Maybe it's Peter Enkelman karma then from all those years ago. Maybe it's Peter Enkelman karma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Peter Enkelman at St Johnston.
Used to
favour putting his arm out the window when we were commuting to training, and then my car window mysteriously packed up. So put your ankle
a goalkeeper whose arms are really the most important part of
his
body.
It's a big risk there, isn't it? Yeah.
Get he's him got inside. A habit of sticking his arm out the window.
Get him inside my motor, Pete.
I mean, what a strange habit to have.
Yeah. You don't do it unless you're very, very familiar with someone. I don't even think I'd let my other half get away with that.
Yeah, you don't want that breeze always, do you?
Feet on the dash, innit? Nah, come on.
Yeah, bit of a liberty.
Did he leave rubbish in the tray as well? Like, was he eating stuff and just leaving crap in
the tray? Can't recall that. He was a man of few words, but he did favour his left arm out the window.
Adrian, do you think the Sheffield Wednesday are going to stay up? So they got Sunderland away after this. West Brom not in great form, and Wednesday seem to have picked up a bit of it. Certainly more than a Huddersfield or a Birmingham.
Got a chance, haven't they? They've given themselves a platform. They should have gone. They should have gone, you know, not long after Rotherham, given how badly they started this season. So, yeah, they've showed real fight under Denny Roll. Sunderland away is not a bad fixture, is it? I mean, West Brom at home isn't a bad fixture, but I mean, West Brom played great, I thought, against Leicester. It was the most exciting I've seen a West Brom team play for a long, long time in terms of the chances they created. But I don't think they're really under any heat. They're in the playoffs. They've got it sorted. So it could be a good fixture for Wednesday. And Sunderland away, I think, is a great fixture because Sunderland, you know, they've been bang average for quite a while now. And at the Stadium of Light, they've taken some pretty bad beating, haven't they? I remember Blackburn winning there 5-1. You know, a number of teams have gone there and turned them over. I can see Sheffield Wednesday winning their last two games.
They're going to need to win one of them, right, Sam? Because just looking at the goal difference, they're minus 29. So they are a point ahead of Birmingham and a point behind Plymouth. Plymouth's is minus 11 and Birmingham's is minus 16. So drawing the last two games, if we're saying that Birmingham are favourites to beat Huddersfield, that's not going to be enough.
No, I'll take your word for it. I can't get the table up in time. But no, I think Sheffield Wednesday have got good games. Obviously, they won a couple of away games, QPR and at Blackburn. They've not obviously got the points maybe the performances have deserved at Hillsborough. Mm. I don't think they've won in four there now. But, I mean, this is a difficult game because West Brom, all of a sudden, they're still possibly in need of a point or two if my maths is serving me well. So I think it's a difficult game. Obviously, they're surviving or plodding along a little bit. West Brom still without kind of a strike, or they did at Leicester with Jed Wallace playing up there. So I probably them to revert to maybe the system we've seen from them throughout the campaign if Thomas Asante is back available. But yeah, all of a sudden this is maybe a slightly tougher game given that West Brom have just failed to pick up the points in the last few games. But yeah, I thought Sheffield Wednesday probably, even though the job that the manager's done has been a sterling one, I mean, I think Clarkey maybe mentioned this last time we did a pod, but last 12 games, Sheffield Wednesday fifth, QPR sixth. I mean, that's astonishing. Neither of them should be playing in the third tier next season. I'd like to think QPR have done enough now, but that Sheffield Wednesday result on Sunday was a bit of a blow to me. I was kind of celebrating survival, and then Wednesday all of a sudden did that at Blackburn and opens it up again. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know between... You know, I think Huddersfield, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, it's a little bit of a shootout, isn't it now?
Not Plymouth. I mean, do you think, I think Millwall away, Neil Harris.
I think that's a good game now, Clarkie, is my, I think the last few games, the energy they've had to exert, Millwall, outstanding little run. I don't know. I just think pressure's off now, isn't it? And they're taking a huge away following. I know that doesn't necessarily count for much at the Den because, the home fans will still be in good voice given their survival, and it's pretty feel good there at the moment. But yeah, I don't know. I just think I fancy with more on it for Argyle, maybe to get a surprising victory, possibly.
Yeah, the only reason I doubt them is that it was a bit limp, wasn't it, at Stoke?
Yeah,
I expected a bit more from them. It was a really comfy win in the old Schumacher Derby, so. Yeah, I don't know. I just think Millwall fans will be relieved. There's a bit of pressure off. Could be dangerous opponents. We'll see. But yeah, I don't think they're out of it.
Mm. Just going to go to the wire by the looks of it. Right, before we finish, let's briefly touch on League One. Last day of the season, the things to be settled that we haven't talked talked about are the final two playoff places. It's between Barnsley, Lincoln, Oxford and Blackpool. 2 points between Barnsley in fifth and Blackpool in eighth. If Barnsley and Lincoln win their games, they're in. Anything other than victory could let Oxford or Blackpool in. What on earth, Adrian Clarke, are Barnsley doing sacking their head coach Neil Collins with one game of the regular season left? They're fifth. They haven't won in five. Director of football Mladen Sormaz said, "With a crucial season conclusion ahead of us, we feel that now is the right time to make a change." This is so weird, isn't it? But having said that, I looked at the tweet they put out and the replies to it, and there's about a 50-50 split amongst the Barnsley fans. Some celebrating it, some saying, "What are we doing?"
Yeah. On the face of it, it feels like madness, and it feels incredibly unfair on Neil Collins, who I think has done a really good job.
Not been out of the top six since October.
No, exactly. And they've played some good football, scored a lot of goals, and I think they're about where they should be. I never saw them. I saw them earlier on in the season. They got walloped at home to Peterborough. I was there for that one. You know, they didn't really beat any of their rivals. They really had a poor record against the other big dogs in League One. And that's for a reason. They're just not quite... they're not top four material, but they have occupied fifth, you know, for most of the season. Every owner, every chairman, every director of football has got a little button, haven't they, on their desk with panic written across it. And he's pressed it. You know, that's and I do get it, because they could drop out of the playoffs and they're thinking, I thought we've got no form whatsoever. We're going to miss out here. We need a short, sharp jolt to get the players to deliver a result that we need against Northampton to get us into the playoffs. And then it's kind of mission accomplished and you take your chances in the playoffs. The fall guy is Neil Collins, and it feels really harsh, but I kind of understand why they've done it. You know, things like this have actually worked in the past.
I first heard like discontent about a month ago and I was like astonished, but he was getting loads of stick. I mean, 5 points from the last eight games is the worst in the division. It seems to be that the sentiment around it and towards him, I've said sentiment a lot today, haven't I? It started, you remember they were 2-0 up against Bolton?
Yeah.
At Oakwell, and it was an amazing game, and then Bolton just threw everything at Barnsley and it ended 2-2. 10 games since, they've lost six of those games, conceded 22 goals. The only two wins against Carlisle, already relegated, and Burton, potentially relegated. So the form has been stinking, really, over the last couple of months. So I wasn't overly surprised, but absolutely by the timing. I think it's Martin Devaney, isn't it, who was a brilliant winger for them in kind of that period where they were doing well in the Championship, had that good cup run. So, let's see what he can do. But thankfully, they've got Northampton at home, which is, you know, a side that have had a really good season. But, obviously nothing to play for. So I'm sure it'll get them highly motivated to just try and maintain their position.
Yeah, I just don't think they're quite good enough defensively to actually go up, no matter who's the manager. If I'm honest, I just think they score goals. They've got 81, which is five more than Pompey and Derby. So, you know, that isn't an issue. But they've let in 63. The team below them are Lincoln, who've let in 38. I mean, that's an astonishing difference. And for that reason, you know, they probably don't want to go up. You know, they'd have to, you know, remodel the whole squad and, you know, bring in a lot of new defenders to avoid having a horrible season at Championship level. So, and maybe, well, Collins has paid the price, hasn't he, for failing to address that properly and to stem the tide. Because when you've got a team that score as many goals as they do, all you've got to do is have a decent platform. And that will have been the great frustration at Oakwell, you know, a little bit too open.
So they're taking on now Northampton. Lincoln in the final playoff place on goal difference from Oxford. Theirs is five better. They've only lost one of 19 ahead of their home game against the champions Portsmouth. Oxford go to Exeter, and Blackpool, who are a point behind Lincoln and Oxford, have a trip to Reading. Going to be really interesting to see who gets those final playoff places. We are just about done for today, but I wanted to get the boys' thoughts on a tweet of the week. Of course, it comes from Sheffield Wednesday's Paul Valentin, who has a picture of him applauding the away fans at Ewood Park on Monday and says, "Amazing victory today. Excited to see 7,400 fans supporting us away from home. See you at Hillsborough on Saturday. Together at SWFC, owl emoji, blue heart emoji. He hasn't gone with the hashtag we're all Wednesday, are we? But other than that, Sam, this is pretty good, isn't it? This smacks to me of somebody from the club getting the message to the players that we've sold 7,400 tickets for the away end for this game, and that's lodged itself firmly in Paul's brain.
Yeah, I love the detail, the number detail. And also, let me put this to the panel, the owl emoji is right up there. Is it better, though, than my local club, Hampton and Richmond, the Beavers? I was on their Twitter feed the other day just checking in to see if they'd made the playoffs. They haven't, so there's no little summer night jaunt for me down the road to watch a playoff campaign. But I thought the Beaver, they play at the Beverley, equally as good. What say you two?
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan of Beavers. You know, I think we all are. So, yeah, I'm all over it. Owls are just a bit weird, aren't they, with the whole neck thing and the eyes, a little bit scary. Yeah, owls, yeah, might have given younger Clark one or two nightmares, actually, back in the day.
Well, we've touched on
something. Petrified of David Hurst.
A little bit scary. I like the first, I mean, I know this is a family pod, but
I know exactly what you're going to read.
Adam Milner, get down Ecky Road and shag the lot, Paul. Save some energy for next week, though. And then, of course, there's the owl emoji, which feels like it's obligatory. So, yeah, wonder if he did.
I like that because it's funny, but I also like Mac's reply. 7 out of 10 every single week. Player of the season for me. I mean, you've not got amazingly high expectations of your team, have you? Your player of the season is somebody who gets 7 out of 10.
Honestly, in my recollection of player of the fans votes for player of the years down the years at clubs I was at, it was always the steady Eddies that seemed to get it, unless you had a striker that scored bundles of goals. Yeah, the fans do vote. They vote for those 7 out of 10ers.
Indoor Outdoors had his mind changed, says, Paul, I'm not going to lie, but when I first saw you under Zisco, I found it hard to believe you was a pro footballer. But now I see how wrong I was. You're getting better and better every game. Praise emoji. If you think we're getting better and better with every podcast, leave us some nice words on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your odds. It's the best way to support us. You can follow us on X at EFL What The, Instagram and TikTok at What The EFL. And don't forget about the offer from our friends at Quinbet. They've enhanced their UK welcome offer where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided in the show notes. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. Well, we'll have plenty to talk about on our next episode when we'll know who's going down and who's in the playoffs. Join us for that if you can. Until then, from me, Sam, and Adrian, it's bye for now.